Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Sometimes
you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear
don't.
Down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Johnny's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dave.
We're watching breaking news all morning long, and I'm sure as you're sitting in with Dean all morning, we'll be following this throughout the day, and I'm sure Dean will have... some folks from ABC News on as well to give the updates.
Right, yeah. Right. We definitely will be following this. As Prime Minister Theresa May pointed out, the third attack in as many months, and as Roger pointed out also, saying that she was calling the taking internet companies to task for permitting this type of activity to continue.
Yeah, that was interesting to hear that, and smart to hear that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard today that you will be. I had dinner with Mr. Richards tonight, and he said that, or last night, and he said that you will be actually on his entire show now.
Yeah, that's right.
That's cool.
Makes for a rather long Sunday, but
it does.
We'll be here through 1 o'clock with Dean. So, yeah.
You know what? I like that because it's odd. I hate to say it, and all due respect to people who have followed you, it's odd. To not have you part of an entire show, it doesn't make sense to me, and that's why we're going to do our history segment starting at 4, starting from now on. So,
oh really?
No, you'll be there for 9 hours. No, I'm kidding. But no, that's cool. I'm glad to hear that, Dave.
Now I will not be here in 2 weeks, but so we're starting this new schedule. Then we're going to hit the road, but we'll not be here actually on Father's Day. But we'll be back, of course, the following week. So now you know my schedule through the rest of the month.
I got it. There you go. Well, you know, I will tell you, we've got a few cool little history bites today. We have a little shorter time today. But 1847, standing right here in this building, the Chicago Tribune begins publishing, founded in 1847.
It wasn't in this building.
It was not in this building. No, it was not. It was...
It was Madison, I think.
Okay.
Have you seen the picture of the... It was in three buildings prior to the Chicago fire. And the picture of the building that was just leveled, was unbelievable from the fire. And then this building didn't come around until 1924.
Right. It was June 10th, founded by James Kelly, John E. Wheeler, and Joseph K.C. Forrest. And, of course, we are named after the Chicago Tribune, which is the world's greatest newspaper, WGN.
WGN.
There you have it.
And you know what WLS stands for, don't you?
World's Losers. yes, World's Largest Store.
World's Largest Store, right.
Yeah. We should do that. We should break that down. There's because all the radio stations here in town have very specific reasons.
The call letters stood for something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of the thing when they started radio stations.
Yeah. Yeah. There was some kind of symbol to them all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it reflected the ownership of the station.
I'm going to do that next week. I like that. We're going to break some of that down. Okay.
Okay.
1920, the Farmer Labor Party was organized in Chicago. A International Association of Machinists strike in Bridgeport developed into a labor party in five towns in the summer of 1918, the powerful Chicago Federation of Labor adopted the cause of a labor party in the fall of that same year.
And you realize that there was another radio station named for the Department of Labor.
What was that?
WCFL.
Oh, that's right.
The Chicago Federation of Labor.
Right, that's right. Look at that. Look at you.
You started it.
I did start it. 1922, I like this. President Harding had a radio installed in the White House at the time. Radio was the hottest technology there was, and the White House was on the cutting edge. In 1922, President Harding is the first U.S. president to use radio, dedicating the Francis Scott Key Memorial in Baltimore. That was the first thing that aired from a U.S. president.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, prior to FDR. I mean, obviously FDR used it in a much different way and really took radio to a whole new level. But, yeah, it was President Harding.
Yeah, Calvin Coolidge said, I do not choose to run. And I think that was the extent of his address on radio.
That was it. Yeah.
Frankly, Herbert Hoover isn't remembered for much on radio at all, as far as I know. But indeed, when Franklin Roosevelt rolled around and the fireside chats, changed everything.
Changed everything. It did. 1930, Chicago Tribune reporter Jake Lingle is killed during a rush hour at the Illinois Central train station by the Leo Vincent brothers, allegedly over $100,000 gambling debt owed to Al Capone.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
He
for
owned
back
the
then.
Money?
Yeah, he owned the money, specifically. Chicago Tribune reporter Jake Lingle.
I wonder why. Gambling,
of course.
Yeah,
but $100,000. That's a lot of money for back then. It's a lot of money now, but to be gambling.
But
away,
then,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 1934 was the first showing of the very first Donald Duck cartoon. 1939, the Baseball Hall of Fame opened in Cooperstown. You believe it's almost 80 years old?
Isn't that something?
And we've talked about this many times. Mm-hmm. You take some great trips up there with some amazing, amazing photographs. And I think about this. There's like 40,000 items there. 3 million books, documents, 500,000 photographs.
And it's
photographs.
Not that big a building.
No. What was your favorite part? What would you say if you had to go back and look, and what would be your favorite part of the building?
Well, there'd be a couple of certainly the media area, which not only talks about the great baseball broadcasters nationwide, but also talks about the number of movies that have been made about baseball or relating to baseball through the years. We go back to the silent era for this. I couldn't believe the number of baseball movies that had been made. Also, there's an area where they recreate some of the lockers in the various ballparks, including Wrigley Field. And believe it or not, there's a section for baseball art. Pictures, paintings,
that's cool.
Like Norman Rockwell paintings.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth pointing in Wrigley Field to point to where the home run is going here. So there's something for everybody.
And broadcasters, of course, as well. And broadcasters.
Well, as I say, the media area there.
Yeah.
Jack Brickhouse, Harry Carey in there. Also, Wendell Smith from Chicago is inducted into that area of the Hall of Fame.
That's cool.
As I say, there's something for everybody.
I love it. All right. Also, this week, June 6th, is National Drive-In Movie Day. Richard Hollingshead, Jr. of Camden, New Jersey, was the creator of the Drive-In Theaters. It opened on June 6th, 1933. We were talking as a family. There's some blockbusters. I saw Captain Underpants with my four-year-old on Friday. Dean gave it a Dean's List A. it was interesting. And then there's
that name cracks me
it
up.
It does. Oh, well, then there was also Professor Poopy Pants, who was in this movie as well. It was very well done. It's based on the book series. My older son used to read that book series. It was pretty cool. But there's a few other movies we want to see, like Wonder Woman and Cars 3.
Well, if he talks about that today, I'm going to lose it. It's going to be it.
Well,
all the news we have to report on for this morning, and he's going to be talking
Professor
about
Poopy Pants. I love it. I love it. And it was that. It was a lot of toilet humor in this movie. Seriously, but my son loved it. It was perfect for the 4-year-old. I love it. She's losing it. That's great.
You were saying,
we are kids at heart, aren't we?
you were saying.
We're trying to figure out which movie to see at the drive-in. And we've seen, my oldest son said we saw Cars, the first Cars, Cars 2 at the drive-in. So we're going to go see Cars 3 when it opens up in a week. But here is some classic drive-in intermission music. Let's take
if
a listen.
Leaving, please replace your inner car speaker before releasing brakes or starting motor. Do not back out.
Oh, I remember all
drive
of these.
Drive to the aisle in front of you and exit.
Well, if you go to any
and
of the drive-ins in town, there's two
remaining,
of them.
It's intermission time. Time for that stretch you've been wanting. And best of all, time to take your pick from that scrumptious array of tasty treats waiting for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, in West Chicago and in McHenry, they play these commercials.
They still run them?
Oh, absolutely. It's part of the experience there. Absolutely.
Why not? It should be.
Here's my favorite, though, of all drive-in commercials about not only getting your popcorn, your hot dogs, but you got to go run out and get your cigarettes. Let's take a listen.
Guess what? Guess what would taste good right now to everyone in the car?
Cigarettes? Here they are. The favorite of young and old alike.
We've got your favorite kind at the concession stand. Come on down and pick out the kinds you want to enjoy during the rest of the show.
Yeah, nothing like closing up your windows,
right,
watching a
just
movie.
Just lighting up.
Oh, it's like a Cheech and Chong movie in your car. The smoke just bellows out. How
Captain
horrible
Underpants
is that?
Wouldn't
yes.
do that.
I love that. Have you not heard of that before?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
but
all right.
You just threw it out at me here.
Captain Underpants.
Yes,
yes.
Poopy pants.
I wouldn't say it was a classic, but it was certainly funny. My son kept looking at me laughing out loud. So that's what it was all about.
And you're going to be laughing all day. About
I am now. I'm going to be thinking about that all day long now. Sonny and Cher made their debut in 1965. Yep.
Is this the variety show they had? Or
no,
the,
this
oh,
is them
the
as
single.
A,
okay,
yeah,
as the,
Baby
yeah.
Don't Go was
Baby
the
Don't
first
Go.
One.
Yep. Yeah.
If you ever see it, you can watch this video on YouTube. It's wild. I mean, it's as hippie as you can get
oh,
in the
1960s. Yeah. You know, Dave, later this month is the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been looking at that some of that stuff online from San Francisco. So we have to bring out the old Scott McKenzie song.
I like that. Okay, we will do
Wear
that.
Wear flowers in your hair.
We will do that.
I still have a tie-dyed shirt.
Do you?
No.
All right. Okay, all right. Maybe
I
you
did
do.
Have
Maybe you do.
Though.
1976, The Gong Show premiered. And by the way, we're trying to get the new host of The Gong Show that's premiering on ABC. But that was like... J.P. Morgan, Jamie Farr, Artie Johnson, Rip Taylor, Phyllis Diller, Anson Williams, Rex Reed, and Chuck Barris, of course.
Jamie Farr?
He was always a regular on there as a judge.
Okay.
You betcha.
On Gong Show. Yeah.
On the Gong Show, yep. All right, I'm going to wrap through a few other little things here before we go. Let's see here. Let's see here. Grease premiered 1978, great summer movie. 1985, Coke announced they were bringing back their 99-year-old formula. On that day, if you remember, New Coke was just a massive failure. And
oh, yes.
But
they
now,
made such a big deal out of that.
Well, they did, but it was a little bit more like a Pepsi, and so they had to keep both for a while. So it was, you can buy Classic Coke. Now it was Classic Coke and New Coke, and
yeah.
Now, of course, they've just reverted back to Classic Coke.
They don't even call it Coca-Cola Classic anymore because it's the only one.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. 1993, Jurassic Park opened. It was one of the biggest box offices ever to that point, $502 million. 1994, Chicago Cubs second baseman Ryan Sandberg retired and forfeited $15.7 million of his $25 million contract when he stepped down. And finally, 2004, American actor and the 40th president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, died on June 5th, 2004. We'll be right back.